hurricane, earthquake, flood, volcanic eruption, or a river of blood. We'll be here even if we get shot, so listen up now for some no matter what.
It's time for another episode of No Matter What. Can I just say, big pat on the back to the man over there, sitting across from me, Mark.
Oh, I'm going to take that pat on the back and I'm going to flip it and reverse it.
Uno. Oh, shit.
If I flip it.
Wait.
What's the opposite of back?
Because you flipped it. So and then therefore, then you reverse. So good. You're patting yourself on the back.
Ah, shit. I wanted to pat you on the back.
Ah, well, I'll take it. I'll take it, you salty dog. Weekly releases, man.
How many weeks? I don't know.
So many. This is deep. This is deep into it. Just bloody good job, you.
Doing them releases. I have huge news, actually, and it's just hit me.
I can't believe it. When is it due?
I've been in contact with one of our musically inclined friends, by the name of he's been on the show.
Okay,
he's been on this show. He's been on Test Pilot quite a few times. He made the theme tune for this thing.
Yeah,
he also made the theme tune for Test Pilot.
Nice.
It's LJ, and he said he had been listening to everybody's favorite podcast that's recorded when Cassie's not around, No Matter What.
That's right.
And he's finally given us a response to whether it is a tempo change So what he's told me, and to everyone listening at home, you know what? We're going to take a plane break now, even though there's no planes in the air, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Ah, yes. It's so weird hearing it without a plane flying over my head.
Okay, so as you can see, this is going 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know, maybe it's doing that. I'm not good at that. So we're talking.
1, 2.
Yeah, I don't know how to count.
Yeah.
But we're talking about this specific bit coming up here. Ready? This bit.
Dive on in.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Where are we going? We're going back.
Now, we've quite a few times on this podcast discussed what that is. Like, is it a tempo change?
Is it a bridge?
Is it a bridge? We don't really know. And I finally have an answer.
Yep.
So I've been told that the tempo is the same, but they're playing in halftime there.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means.
So it's a halftime tempo change.
I'm happy to say that. I don't think that's right.
No.
They're not because changing.
Tempo's the same, but it's halftime of half-time. The previous...
So
tempo,
what I interpret
the tempo
that,
stays the same.
I interpret that. So like it's like instead of being like boom, 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 it's going boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? We're skipping every second beat.
Okay, and that's halftime.
And that's halftime.
Halftime, baby.
Halftime, baby.
Time to regroup. Orange slices.
Grab the orange slices.
Thanks, John, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I now know it, but I preferred when I didn't know it. You know what I mean?
I love a mystery.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Yeah.
I love a good mystery, and that was a great mystery.
Yeah, it's like, and I don't-
And who's he? He doesn't know.
He's got no idea.
There's no way he could possibly know.
I don't think it's possible.
He makes songs that go- There's no comparison. It's rock and roll, baby.
The thing about rock and roll that I don't like when people try and do, because rock and roll is like a movement. You know what I mean? Like rock, we rock because we're sick of the damn government telling us what to do.
That's right.
So we're rock and rollers.
And we roll because we're stacked to the sky because we got paper. We're rollers, baby. Like we got them big monies.
What you can't do is put rock and roll in a box and give it labels.
I'd like to see you try needles.
Yeah. And so LJ's coming to us and he's like, these are the rules of rock and roll.
Ugh.
And I'm like, listen here, buddy. Rock and roll ain't got no rules.
Take your foul drug elsewhere. Stop trying to inject us.
Yeah.
With your
bleeps and blops because we're
with
rockers.
Your conformity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. we rock pretty hard on this podcast.
I mean, just say it, rock and roll. Just keep your nonsense rules away from my rock and roll. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because like the thing about like parents is that they don't get it. They don't get that we rock and roll. So hard all day and night.
Why'd you cut your sleeves off your perfectly nice shirt? Bought you that shirt. It was for Nana's funeral. Yeah. Sorry, Mum.
Sorry, Mum.
I'm rock and roll.
Yeah. Maybe this is how I deal with Nana dying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe rock and roll helped me get through her death. Oh, she died. Maybe I'll go listen to Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm actually feeling pretty good about the whole thing.
Feeling pretty good about Nan's passing, you know, because it's made me feel some things that maybe be able to connect more to my rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing safe about a safety pin straight through the nose.
Straight through the nose.
And I leave it in.
Ow.
I don't even put a ring in because that's rock and roll.
That's rock and roll.
Punk's different.
Yeah.
Punk's a bit scary. Yeah,
punk scares me. And it's like when I go to like raves and I wear a gas mask and I wear fluoro clothes and they play trance music. That's rock and roll. You know what I mean?
I think you've crossed a line.
That's rock and roll to me.
Okay, and I respect that because rock and roll, I guess, is it could be different for everyone.
Yeah, and like when I go to jazz bars,
the jazz
musician comes up on stage he plays jazz music. I'm like, that's rock and roll, man.
Because I kind of thought rock and roll was a thing, but now I realize
it's
that just by saying that, I'm putting
rock and roll
in a box with needles.
Giving it rules. And I don't know if I've ever said this, but rock and roll has no rules.
So when I watch a video from...
That's rock and roll.
From 70 years ago of a man
rock and roll
tapping, doing tap dance, and I love that sound.
Yeah.
And it's speaking to my heart, and I thought that I was wrong to think this, but that's rock and roll.
That's rock. You know when 1969, I believe, when everyone was glued to their TVs and Neil Armstrong was getting out of the moon rover.
Yeah.
And he said, this one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yeah.
That's rock and roll.
That's rock and roll.
That's actually rock and roll.
Freedom.
Freedom, baby. There ain't no rules.
Wow.
Do you know people are going to the moon recently?
How so? What, have they just been flying on up
India.
And are they jumping out?
Like India went.
They're having a little India went?
Yeah.
They have a little stroll?
Yeah.
Prove it. I don't believe you.
I mean,
where's the footage?
All right, let's quickly go outside and have a look at the moon and see if we see India out there.
Okay, there's the...
I think it's India.
But Mark, it's the middle of the day. Are you telling me that I can see some kind of moon?
I'm going to do everyone's favorite podcast segment, which is the segment where I look on my phone.
Look it up. Look it up. You can look
India
it up at home.
Did India go to the moon? Yeah, they went to the moon,
bro. That's rock and roll. When are we going to stop with the labeling?
Yeah.
India, Australia... Yeah. When are we just going to be like, we did it.
We did it.
We went to the moon.
Guys, we went to the moon. And guess what? We found out it's actually our enemy. So we got to band together.
We got to get rid of the moon. Because we think that the moon is responsible for the tides, right?
Yes.
But what if the tides could be so much more?
Yeah.
And the moon's actually just putting it in a box. That's the least rock and roll thing I could ever think of.
When I become president
of wherever you want, first
thing I'm going to do when I become president of world is I'm going to be like, listen, everybody, I know you think it's a bad idea to straight up explode that moon,
but just think about the tides.
We've never tried not having it. You know,
technically,
what I mean?
The tides are a slave to the moon.
Yeah,
I'm not about slavery.
No,
how do you feel about slavery?
I'm president. Can I call you king? Yeah.
King of the world.
King of the world. I don't like slavery. And as the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to free the tides. What would happen?
Don't you want to know?
If the moon just ceased to exist, we just said, because we as a nation, Earth, we have the ability to explode the moon as far as I know.
Yeah, of course.
Surely we do.
Because when we're acting as the world...
If we put our resources together, we can explode that moon.
Oh, yeah.
And can we do it without there being any damage?
We can crack that sucker right now.
It's probably going to... What we got to do is we got to first...
Look, we're not just willy-nilly blowing it up. We're going to build the thing that contains the thing.
What I'm thinking is we do a two-pronged attack.
Okay.
First prong is not to destroy the moon. It's to kind of push it away.
Right.
So think of it this way. I have a soccer ball.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick the soccer ball away.
Into the goal.
Yeah, and then I'm going to throw a grenade at the soccer ball to end it.
Not only destroying the ball, but destroying the goal?
Yeah.
So what's the goal location for the moon? Mars?
Yeah.
I don't trust it. Too dusty.
Bit red. I've
been taught my entire life that red usually means stop, danger,
yeah,
or just overall bad.
Red is usually bad. So I think we smack the moon into Mars, get rid of two birds, one stone,
mm-hmm.
get rid of those two.
And once, because once the moon is on Mars, that's when we throw the grenade at it.
Yeah. And I think we just kind of have like a cool ass Earth then with like no tides and shit.
Yeah. And
what's the purpose of tides?
I mean, look, I know surfers have been wanting some killer large waves.
Exactly.
And I think that maybe destroying the moon will allow the tide.
Yeah.
I want to talk to the tide. I want to listen to the tide. Right now, all I hear is moon when I look at the tide.
Yeah.
No more.
Ditch it. Have some killer waves. Have a beach party.
Some people are going to tell us, oh, it goes still without moon. Come on. You think that could go still without moon?
Yeah, like those people have ever tried not having the moon. That's the thing.
People be like, oh, it goes go too still. Some other people go, oh, get too rough. It's like, why don't we let it decide?
Yeah. Ditch the moon, deal with the consequences. And yeah. That's going to be my platform that I'm going to run for King of World.
I mean, you've got my vote.
So it's been a big, this is No Matter What, the podcast that we record when Cassie is not around to record with us.
That's right. They are listening currently to No Matter What, which is the podcast that we record when Cassie isn't around.
Not around. And what we do on this show is we create content. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to go into the whole writer's strike update. There is no update. They're still striking.
That's wild.
They've been striking for longer than...
The writers are striking. The actors are striking, right? Everyone's striking.
Yeah.
Everyone's just out at lunch.
The world's worried. Because they're worried no content's going to be coming, and we're here
to... From Hollywood. Is the world striking? Are all the actors striking? Are England's actors striking?
I don't know if we want to work with English actors, though, you know.
What about Jason Statham?
It's shocking to me that we haven't had Jason Statham in something yet. Maybe that's the goal. Maybe we need to...
Because he probably lives in America now anyway.
Yeah. He's probably part of the Screen Actors Guild, let's be honest.
I think him and The Rock.
The Rock,
are roommates.
Yeah. They always make movies together, don't they?
Yeah.
Where, like, The Rock is, like...
Much to Vin Diesel's chagrin. Yeah.
But The Rock's like, I'm big, but I'm kind of funny. And yeah. Jason...
He does. He is. He makes me laugh.
And Jason Statham's like, I'm kind of a tough guy, but I can also... Joke.
Sometimes I've also got a bit of sweetheart.
Yeah.
It's a bit tough exterior, but when you really get down to it,
yeah,
I really care.
And then they do a movie where like they're like partners and they're like...
But they don't want to be partners. Yeah, they're still from two different worlds, you know?
But then when they're like competitive against each other where like it's kind of like a Gimli Legolas thing where yes. it's like, yeah.
Which is hilarious because it's so funny. And Jason is obviously the dwarf being a smaller man than The Rock.
Yeah.
I love The Rock's little counterpart man.
He's always got a little counterpart man
just to make his size that much bigger.
Yeah. He went with Kevin Hart for a while.
He did a couple of movies
where he was like, I need to find the smallest guy. And they're like, buddy. We got the guy just for you, Peter Dinklage. And he's like, oh, no. That's too small. I'm going to look like a freak if you put me next to him. He's like, I only want to look pretty big. I don't want to look like a giant. You have taken my instruction and you have done a bad job. Yeah, okay, you're fired.
It's like I don't want my leg to look like twice the size of human man.
He's like, I want to do like a Gimli Legolas. What you've given me like
which a, is the that is the professional yeah. term for it.
And he's like, what you've given me like a Merry Pippin slash, you know, like and I'm the Ent in this situation.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the Ent. No. I don't want to do a movie where Peter Dinklage climbs me half the movie.
Funny combo.
It is a funny combo.
But Dinklage can
do comedy.
He can. And when I was watching them climb the Ent and they were having those back and forth, I was giggling. But then a little voice in the back of my head was like, where's Gimli and Legolas?
Yeah.
I want to see Gimli and Legolas.
I want to see Gimli and Legolas
argue over how many orcs they've killed. They're in such a terrifying situation, but they're making light of it. They're having fun.
That movie would have been so much better if they did cast like Kevin Hart as
Rock.
Gimli and The Rock as Legolas.
Absolutely.
Would have been so sick.
Blonde hair and all.
That'd be sick because then like...
They should actually remake Lord of the Rings, I think.
Because Legolas is cool and all. Like he's got that whole elf vibe. But imagine if he was...
stacked. He's not... Yeah.
Imagine if he was like 900 pounds of pure A-grade American beef.
Listen, I want to know that my arrow-firing Legolas can bench me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a heavy guy.
Is the issue that like, sure, The Rock always does have a little man with him, but...
He always does.
But is it that like...
Find me a movie where he doesn't have a little man.
But what I'm asking is like, is it just that every man's a little man next to him?
No, I'm sure there's other men that are of similar, comparable size.
Like he did, even when he does movies with Mark Wahlberg, like he's kind of the big man to Mark Wahlberg's little man.
Yeah, there's Jason. He's a big man. I reckon you put them in a...
You're talking Momoa?
Yeah.
They're in something.
They are. They're in the fast cars.
Yeah.
Well, because there was a whole stink where people didn't think that The Rock was in it because of Vin Diesel drama. But then at the very end, he was post credit scene. He's like, "Here I am." I think he raised an eyebrow.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Did he?
Well, that's his thing.
That's sick.
He raises eyebrow. He rocked bottoms, and he has little man.
He does like his little man, not too little though.
So that's why maybe they weren't in the movie very much together, but in the next Fast and the Furious, there's a chance that they might be on screen at the same time.
Have you seen that? There's that scene. I haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious, but there's that scene.
Not one?
I've seen one. Yeah, I've seen Fast and Furious 1.
What about Tokyo Drift?
I don't believe I've seen Tokyo Drift.
You got to treat yourself to Tokyo Drift, although you may be a few years too late.
I assume I've seen Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh, scary, that one.
Because I feel like I saw it when it came out, but I would have been like in primary school at that point, I'm assuming.
Yeah. No, I definitely saw Fast and the Furious later.
Yeah.
The first one. I certainly haven't seen the middle. I know they go to space at some point. Ludacris goes to space. Yeah. That's always a plus.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that movie though. I have seen the most recent one.
Okay.
And then Tokyo Drift.
Yeah. But there's a scene.
Because Tokyo Drift's sort of outside of...
Of them are in it, are they?
Yeah, that's right. None of them are in it. There's some characters that are introduced in it that I think then become mainstays for like the rest of it.
Yeah, nice.
And then Vin Diesel appears at the end.
What? That's dumb because it's like...
He's like I'm going to drift in a muscle car now.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say Vin Diesel doesn't appear at the end. It's like, hey, we're here. And then people are like, who are you? And they're like, we're the guys that drifted Tokyo. And they're like, yes, but we don't know you.
Dude,
because that's a different... We weren't there.
Fast and the Furious is the most convoluted series of films.
It's dumb, isn't it?
It started off as like they were just drug dealers, or like the main thing was illegal racing, and then they were involved with crime.
Yeah, I think gang. what they did is they were like illegal drag racers, but they would also like steal stuff from trucks. You know,
right?
I think
they used their fast cars to steal stuff from trucks.
So
the guy that joins the family,
and Paul Walker was a cop.
That's right.
And he goes undercover.
And he leaves the force
to become part of the family.
Because that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's about family.
Yeah. And Michelle Rodriguez is in it.
And they just...
Hell of a talent.
Yeah. They just sort of pick up more and more family members as they go. And then it becomes the not... Now, hey, I heard you steal pretty good from trucks, but how about you steal from this country and steal their most private possessions? So now, like, I think I can do it. Do you have a car for me?
Yeah.
And then it's like, no. And then wasn't there Torque or something? And that was bikes, but Fast and Furious.
I don't think Torque was
Dude,
involved.
There's so much.
I think Torque
was separate.
I think someone saw Fast and Furious and went, they can't get away with this. And then
no one
like,
cares about bikes.
Someone's like, we gotta do something to get attention away from Fast and Furious. And someone's like, well, what's cooler than a car? And someone's like, a motorbike is 100 times cooler than a car.
Motorbikes have a time and a place.
Yeah.
Because they don't actually sell. Their time and a place is for the rough around the edges boyfriend that the dad's concerned about to turn up in. He's got the cool jacket, right?
I think the issue also is motorbikes are at their coolest when it's like a Harley, you know, like a
for
road
sure,
bike.
For sure.
Like all these fast bikes are kind of lame.
But you can't have a Harley in a movie without it being about a biker gang.
It's too
closely related. You don't just have a guy, unless it's Ghost Rider, but even then, that's comic books.
That's comic
books. We're more watching it for the skeleton man.
Yeah, we like him.
Bikes, they just don't cut it the same. The bikes are great for when you're chasing John Wick in a car and you need some guys to pull up with Uzis.
And they're going to die pretty quickly because he just does the door open.
You open the door, you stop the car abruptly. That's a crash.
Yeah.
Bikes are terribly unsafe and therefore not relatable to most people.
People are watching this being like, yes, but I don't have a motorbike, but I do have a car. So I understand cars. Motorbikes, I don't get what's happening right now.
On the flip side, I think there's a big market for BMX and just regular push bikes. A lot of people
Everyone has
a push bike. Everyone knows how to ride a bike.
Yeah. It's a little slower.
But there's tricks with the camera. You can make them seem like they're going the same speed, and that's the same thrilling experience for someone sitting in a chair.
You're going to need a big bike, though. If we've got The Rock in this, we're going to need a big bike. And a small bike for his little friend.
For his little friend, of course.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think, you know, Kevin Hart's a good one.
Kevin Hart.
Maybe
Kevin
more Hart stuff with, you know, I loved it when he had two small men. That was Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Jumanji. That was fantastic. They doubled up. They found the formula. You're like, you know what this needs? A little bit more sugar, a little bit more spice.
Yeah.
Then you got yourself Jack Black, Kevin Hart combo.
Can I admit something here?
Go ahead.
I think that the new Jumanji movie, I've seen both. No, I've only seen the first one.
Ooh. I heard an S sound.
Yeah, because I thought I'd seen the two of them, but I haven't seen the second one.
Okay.
I've only seen...
Second one's got Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. And doesn't have the Dannys? Danny DeVito and Danny Glover?
It does.
Yeah.
It does, I think. I'm not sure. And
DeVito was like...
Certainly has a black man in it, but I'm not sure.
Oh, it is red hot, but I'm doubling down. DeVito's like, if you want one Danny, you're getting both of them.
Yeah, yeah. We're a Danny deal.
But all I'm saying is the first Jumanji movie, not the first one, not the Robin one, one of the reboot or continuation, really. It's not a reboot. It's a continuation.
Yeah. It's a continuation only in that the cursed game is some sort of living curse that it's like a virus. It adapts and it changes to the times or to when it's like, oh, people don't want to play board games anymore. I become a PlayStation. I'm an N64 now.
But all I'm saying is, and this is, I think this is, a lot of people out there probably went, I don't want to watch that movie. I like the 1996 one.
Yeah, you talk about everyone in our age bracket.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going, I'm not going to watch that. I don't think that's going to be a good movie. I'm here to say that The Rock, Kevin Hart, Jumanji is a cracker of a film.
I enjoy them thoroughly.
I think it was a great film.
I enjoy them thoroughly, and I was ready to fight this point as I was expecting you to say sucks.
No, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was enough. What's not to like? It's got
it's the formula, Mark.
Yeah,
you get a big strong man, raise eyebrow, has wrestling moves, charismatic as hell, a little bit handsome. Kind of looks like a thumb, but that's okay because of his accolades. Put him next to two tiny men, comical, strange-looking men. Kevin Hart, look, he's handsome, but so small.
Yeah.
Jack Black, well, you know.
Jack.
But he's
Jack,
a legend.
He can
do the rig-a-doo-doo. I can't do it, but he's like a rag-a-duck. It just sounds silly when I do it.
Yeah.
Hilarious when he does it.
He's a funny, funny man.
And the fun thing is that there was technically two babes in that movie, but Jack Black portrays one of them.
Oh yeah, that's,
so you've got a woman trapped in a man. They did that. Hilarious.
They did the whole body swap thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a killer film.
No, I liked it. I liked it. And you haven't seen the second one?
I've not seen. Is it worth it?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. The first one, you know, has the charm of it being a new thing, and it's got that going for it, so you can sort of get into it a bit more and have that initial. And the second one's still cool, but it's much the same.
Yeah, I just think I think that
as those sort of comedy action sequels go, it's much the same as the first.
I don't know. I don't know why I watched it as well, because I, for some reason, when I saw it, I was like, I think this is going to be good. And then when I watched it, I was like, I was right.
Yeah,
take that world.
Very fun. Very fun.
Yeah. Good shit.
And it's the formula.
Yeah. You need one big man and one little man. They've done this forever.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito. Yeah, come on.
Danny DeVito, what happened was he saw the first movie and he was like, I got to jump on this cash cow.
I need to get in here.
The amount of times I've ridden this cash cow in my career.
Oh, well, you know, here's a tiny spoiler for you.
Okay.
That might get you into it. Danny DeVito is in the avatar of The Rock.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. And it's fun as well for the actor who gets that role, because they don't actually have to do the voice or anything.
Well, it's still obviously The Rock talking, but yeah. he's doing all of the Danny DeVito cadences,
fun.
And,
that's fun.
It's fun. Hey,
I'm gonna watch Jumanji 2, Kevin the next
Hart,
level.
Kevin Hart is Danny as well.
Oh, that's fun.
Kevin Hart, yeah.
The Danny's.
So they're just two old what about men the other bickering. Two?
They just swap again.
I think what is his name? Fridge.
What?
The friend that is in Kevin Hart's body in the first one. I think the friend's name is Fridge.
Ah, okay.
That's his nickname.
Yeah.
Fridge is in Jack Black.
Yeah.
And then the girl's the same.
Listen, I had forgotten that, like, I'd forgotten kind of the premise of their video game characters that each person controls. Now I'm back on. I thought they were each body swapping with each other.
Well, I think the movie was cool is because they didn't do the same thing where it's like, The Rock has to protect. Like, they didn't make Rock the guy that came out of the video game.
Yeah,
they did the flip side where they went into the game itself,
where The Rock can exist,
where Robin came out of, which is cool because that's if you ever saw the Jumanji cartoon after the movie.
Oh, the Jumanji cartoon was the shit.
It was sick, and that was like the kids going into the game rather than it coming out.
Yeah, no, the cartoon was the shit.
Yeah, that was like what, late 90s sort of
slew
of movies that came out with dope cartoon adaptations. There was Men in Black.
The Ghostbusters one was sick.
Yeah.
That came a lot later than the movie. But like, yeah, Men in Black was a fucking dope one as well.
One of the coolest theme tunes, I think, of any cartoon I ever saw.
I don't remember it.
Well, I'm going to get it up.
I would like to hear it.
Whether or not this stays in, I don't care because
it's
very cool.
This is No Matter What, the podcast we record when Cassie cannot make it onto the podcast. So we go rogue, we talk about Jumanji, we talk about The Rock, we talk about Lord of the Rings, all three banned topics on the Test Pilot podcast. For some reason, Cassie...
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about those ones, are we?
Day one, when we started recording, Cassie went, yeah, I'll do a podcast with you, but we're not fucking talking about Jumanji. And I went, okay, well, that seems irrelevant. It's not about Jumanji. And she's like, I can see it in your eyes. We'll get one episode in, then all of a sudden we're doing a Jumanji podcast where you're talking about the original film, you're talking about how the sequels compare to it. I don't want to be a part of any of that kind of thing.
No, no. She really was strict where it's like, we're only going to do a format where sometimes we can watch something that I love, which is reality TV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why we had to create a side podcast just to have this one Jumanji chat.
And also to, you know,
create content, create
because
money.
She's constantly gone.
She's always away somewhere. Like,
what is this, week three?
I'm a bit. It's been 3 weeks in a row, and you know what? I'm a bit worried because
I don't check on her. Well, she could be dead, and that would devastate me.
This is what happened. I don't know if you know this. She said, I won't be able to record the next couple of weeks. And I was like, oh, cool. Are you going away somewhere? And she said, you could say that. And then she winked. I was like, that's a bit odd.
Hmm.
And then she was like, she kept saying like, I'm so excited. I've just got a new board game. I'm going to play it with a friend of mine. I'm like, well, okay, that's a bit weird. And then I was like, I really wanted to say like, this sounds dangerous. I wanted to mention the
because
movie.
Because we've seen where this sort of road seen, leads.
I've seen this kind of thing before, but we do have the no Jumanji talk rule.
Just come to mention it. I was leaving the other day. You had already jumped in the car. I think you were putting some of the equipment in your car.
Okay, yeah.
And I swear I was in the bathroom. I heard through the wall, I heard do, 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 do. And I was like, what was that, Cassie? She goes, oh, and she picked up a bongo. It's like, I've just been practicing drums.
Yeah, that's probably,
And I was like, huh.
It's just, I'm just worried because like she usually contacts us. And then she said something.
I don't think she's built to survive in the jungle, Mark.
Honestly, if I was to put anyone, she'd be the last person I would think would survive in the Jumanji jungle.
You can only shit on your enemies for so long until they become immune to the shit.
It's a defense tactic, sure, but it's not an effective one.
It's not. Yeah, it's not an offense.
Yeah, it's a defensive technique, isn't it?
It's only offensive against turtles, and we know how that's gone.
They're slow moving.
When you're up against a real predator, it's not going to last long.
You're not going to get your pants down in time. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, she's probably gone to not wearing pants.
Probably.
We have to go in and get her.
Day one, the pants were gone.
We're going to have to probably go in and get her.
I know, I mean, we can try and roll 5 or 8, but you know, the thing is, 5 or 8. So were these? No, it was two sixes.
Yeah.
So you can never roll a one.
No, you can't roll a one.
Interesting.
You're always moving two squares, I guess.
Always moving two squares.
At bare minimum.
Can't roll a one in Jumanji.
Got to get the game over with.
Do you reckon they ever roll a one in that movie?
I don't. Well, you
surely
can't.
They didn't. Surely they didn't fuck that up.
Well, you can't. Well, no. No one ever moved one space.
Yeah.
I think the game is actually done quite fast.
Well, unless you get sucked into the jungle, then you're there for 30
Yeah. What's
years.
That rule? Is that just like a bad square to land on? Because it all seems to be randomized. Whereas I think he landed on a square where it's like you'll come in me.
Yeah.
You'll hang out in the jungle.
Well, the thing
whereas
is,
other ones got like spooky bats.
Spooky bats
spiders.
Come out. But here's the thing: like, had she kept playing, he would have been safe. You know. Because
It's like
she stopped playing as soon as he got sucked into the ball and she ran away because she got scared because there were bats.
I know. That's sort of giving me a flashback of that scene because it is quite, you see him, you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
The old school effects of him just stretching and
fingers suck into
quite
it.
Spooky,
yeah.
Quite spooky.
It was spooky at the time. And
no, you're right. I think if she had just gone to her next turn, therefore activate, maybe when it got back to his turn. Because they...
Well, I guess keeps having turns until he's back.
Or the second the kids roll, does he come out? Or do they both take a turn rolling and then...
They roll... I think if I'm... Surely they don't roll a 5 or 8 with their first roll. You know what I mean?
You keep saying 8. There's no 8.
Yeah, in the jungle...
Oh,
you mean
total.
No, in the jungle, you must wait until
the dice
rolls 5 or 8.
Mate, look at you. Yeah, okay. I guess that's just the first one they roll is a 5 or 8. So any player can roll a 5 or an 8 and free them from the jungle.
Yeah.
Imagine if what a weird one. You get sucked in. What if the very next person that rolls gets a 5 or 8 and it's literally just, you're just there. You're like, I'm in the, you just get sucked right back out.
Listen,
because
Jumanji's a wild game, but I think that I think
time
the intention
seems to match.
Yeah. Time matches fine. But I don't think the game's intention at its core was to have you in the jungle for 30 years.
Okay, yeah, okay.
It was just a bit of fun.
It's a flaw.
It was a design flaw.
Yeah.
Well, not a design flaw. I would say it was a player fault.
They're definitely making Jumanji 3 with the two little funny guys and the big guy, right?
They got to.
They better.
They got to.
I want to know where the game came from. That's got to be the next thing, right?
That's the worst.
And that's where they'll fuck up.
Yeah.
But I would like to know just so I can go, meh.
The worst thing about the writer's strike is that it's just delaying Jumanji 3 at this point.
Exactly!
What are we doing? Like, reach an agreement just so we can sit there and watch Jumanji 3.
I want jungle fun.
There was also Zenthura, which I never saw, but that was like space Jumanji.
And I never saw that either.
No, I think that one was trash.
But absolutely, they are going to do a third one, and absolutely that is when they will do the It Comes Into Our World again.
Yeah, I think we've been in the Jumanji world twice now.
Yeah, they've been in the Jumanji world twice. But what's the fuck? What's the hunter guy?
Van Pelt.
Van Pelt. They haven't touched on Van Pelt.
A Van Pelt origin story?
Yeah, they gotta have. I reckon the third one they'll bring back Van Pelt.
Surely Van Pelt comes back in like Jumanji.
No.
Is he not in him?
No, the Hound's in it.
Hound. You know, this is, I'm, and thank you for listening to Test Part, the Jumanji podcast we record when Cassie's not around.
Stay tuned because I am going to play that MIB theme tune. Yeah. I haven't forgotten.
Get ready. But as a kid, and I don't know if I might blow your mind here or you might be like, no, I noticed that as a kid because I'm not a moron.
Wow. Okay. Well, now I really hope I noticed it.
You know Van Pelt, right?
Yeah.
Same actor as his dad.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
I did notice that as a kid. Absolutely not. Did I notice that shit as a kid?
I'm like, that's Van Pelt. That's scary.
But that's rough.
Yeah.
What a tragic relationship he has with his dad.
So his dad was just hunting him for like 30 years, you know, because Van Pelt hunts him, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. It's the best game.
Yeah. And so that means that like, so imagine that, like you've just had an argument with your dad over the shoes. If you'll remember.
Yeah, it's certainly traumatizing.
Yeah.
Unless he never picked up on it either.
He never got close enough.
What's a big mustache?
Yeah. So he's destroyed the shoes. His dad yells at him. He gets given the board.
These shoes are everything we have.
Yeah. Which, by the way, what happened was, it was the guy wanted to make the shoes, yeah? It was like a guy who worked at the shoe factory. He's like, you won't believe the crazy shoes I've just made.
It was sneakers, right? This guy invented Air Jordans. There's going to be a guy. Yeah. He's going to be amazing at basketball. Yeah. I've got just the shoe.
So these are going to be the biggest sneakers ever. And then the dad's like, no, we make Oxfords in this
And of
thing.
Course he was an African-American, right? Yeah, I believe. Sure, and I believe sure. he was only like a janitor at the place. Yeah, and he's like, I've got a great design.
Yeah, I've invented sneakers.
Yeah.
This is going to be huge. And then
the coolest looking shoe.
Yeah, yeah, they were black and white and shit. And then the sneakers go through the machine. They get destroyed. The dad's like, well, I guess you're going to boarding school now because
you took a chance on a $1 million opportunity.
And so this kid's just had, and he got beat up as well on the way after the thing. He gets jumped by, like, he's got like a lame bike, and there's like kids with like fucking like Harley Davidson.
This is back
bikes.
To the whole bike argument, yeah. You know, it's like, it's good to show villains.
So they beat the shit out of him. He gets home.
Bus lip,
black eye. His dad's like, you're going to fucking boarding school. And by the way, we're going out to dinner. And so they fuck off to dinner. And then
is she his babysitter?
No, I think she's just like the neighborhood fling.
Okay. Because yeah. I thought she was like maybe a year, maybe
no,
two.
No, I think
which when
way.
You're a kid is
a lot.
Is big. Yeah, if he was 13 and she was 15, I could see her being, and him being like, but no, there was no babysitter angle.
No, I think they were just friends.
They were just friends, right.
So they play Jumanji. He gets sucked into the game. And then, so he's had a bad day. By all accounts, it's been a pretty bad day.
Yeah.
And then his dad hunts him for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's insane. So he gets into Jumanji World. He's like, this is fucked. And then he looks over. He's like, wait, is that my dad? And then the dad pulls out a gun and just starts hunting
him. Start running, boy.
For 30 years. Like, I think he was in there for 30 years.
Something like that. Something like that.
It's fucked up.
But yeah, the third one should definitely be the return of Van Pelt.
You gotta have a Van Pelt, like... Because you do age normally, though. Maybe Van Pelt's son of Pelt.
You age normally, sure, but I think it's different for the characters inside the... Because I think Van Pelt, from the moment he entered the game, Van Pelt looked like Van Pelt, and at first was just chasing him as a boy.
Yeah.
And then he grew up and obviously got good.
It'd be cool. And like, listen, this is no matter what, the show that the podcast that we record,
but Cassie would never allow.
She'd never allow us. And I think it's time to break more rules than we've ever broken before.
And after you say this, I'm just going to play the MIB theme song.
And I think we jump into the pilot episode of our show this week.
Okay.
And it is called Van Pelt.
Yeah.
And it is a Van Pelt TV show.
I would. Look, this is what I want.
Yes.
This is what you want.
This is what everybody wants.
And you know what? But just before we get into that, I'm just gonna play this MIB. I'm just gonna play because I really wanna. Ooh. It's up there. Come on, the bass.
All right.
Oh. And it's up there with X-Men. X-Men, another great cartoon theme tune. Just wait for this tempo change, as I think it's a tempo change. It might not be. Ready?
Oh!
Oh, yeah, and then? Come on.
Yeah, no, I'm sold.
You're all in on that.
That's really, really good. just before we get into the Van Pelt TV show, I just want to mention...
That Men in Black actually sucks, and it's a shame.
In my primary school, someone did win the talent show by doing a dance to the Men in Black theme, wearing
the Will Smith theme.
Here come the Men in Black. And they were just like fucking like popping, locking.
Well, you know my history with Harry and the Men in Black theme, so we got into it on the episode.
Oh, yeah.
He flashed YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. But it was cool shit. Like this, we're talking like at 11.
Nailed it. This kid nailed it.
An 11-year-old boy wearing his dad's suit and some sunglasses.
Ooh.
Dancing up on a stage and actually winning. So that shows how poor the rest of the competition was, that they watched a 10-year-old non-trained dancer just kind of flail on stage, being like, and I think he did the moonwalk at one point.
Did he nail it?
As much as an 11-year-old boy wearing his dad's suit.
You gotta win if you hit the moonwalk. That's pretty impressive.
Like, the competition was someone who, like, you know, had done like a year's worth of like piano, like, practice. Yeah. What did you do in the talent show?
Me and Bodie did we did a skit.
Oh, okay.
And it was a skit all about who's gonna get elected to be the school's head kid, whatever they called it. Like, captain.
School captain.
School captain. Yeah, yeah. But we just did a bunch of shit. We had other people in it, but it was mostly just me and him coming back and forth onto the stage as different characters.
Yeah.
Very loosely planned.
Yeah.
I think we had the opening planned and then the rest we just sort of winged
it. Improv it, baby.
We just improv it.
You'd seen an episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, yeah.
You knew what you were doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think you were the Ryan Stiles. He was a Colin Mockery. Let's go.
My shining moment was walking out and saying, is this where they sell the hot dogs? Oh. I wasn't even there for the school captain.
I
was there for the hot dogs.
That is.
And then
funny
at the end,
shit.
I was like, no hot dogs. Oh, well, vote one. And I ran off.
Oh shit.
Hilarious. I brought it back. Made it relevant.
That is funny shit.
Yeah.
And you didn't win?
We argued that there was no category for comedy. So we actually did win.
It's like that thing.
But it was the category for comedy.
Which
was created for us. So well, winners.
It was such a good performance that they were like, we need to create a whole category.
Listen, they looked at us. They looked at me and Bodhi and they said, oh, I know those two kids. They're the ones who sit on the step of Gus, who was the custodian of the school. They sit on his step to his office, call it. It was a shed.
Yeah.
So we sat behind the back of the school where Gus, we frequently talked to Gus.
Okay.
We were cool with the custodian. We were those kids in primary school.
What was Gus's deal? Is Gus still with us?
He was old and Italian, almost certainly not. R.I.P. Gus.
Oh, this one goes out to Gus.
He was a short, funny man to my tall, big guy.
No way.
He was the original for me.
Oh my God.
Because Bodhi's the same height as me. It's almost.
That's why you were just, that's what got you on this path that you're in now. You realize that you need every Kale needs a Gus.
I'm just realizing that we were the loser kids who hung out with the janitor. I can't believe that. Yeah, but he was sick. Gus was dope, you know. Yeah. He let us sit on his step. Yeah. Oh man, we would. Bodhi would bring in his acoustic guitar and we'd sing Tenacious D.
Gus?
If he was around.
Yeah, he was
a busy man.
Yeah, that's true. Gus is busy.
And we just watched the rest of the world just from that stoop.
You're sitting there being like, man, everyone wishes they were on this stoop with us right now.
Look at us.
Everyone else is
Gus's keepers.
Yeah. Everyone else is looking at them being like, man, I hope Gus doesn't do anything to them.
It's a nice cool spot though in the shade.
Oh yeah. Gus keeps a certain temperature.
He has to.
Any hotter, Gus will die.
He's a sweater.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh,
it's good
that's
to hear
funny.
About Gus. Let's jump into the pilot episode of Van Pelt. Exciting for us. We've never done this before. We've never really touched on a pre-existing piece of media and created a new thing in that universe. Now, this will have to fit into the No Matter What universe.
Right, of course. No, of course, because usually our style is that we heavily borrow from other places, but we never take. You can never prove that.
No.
But we got the licensing on this one.
We've never done that.
What can you say? The fruits of our labor, and also no one else would ride it.
Yeah.
No one else would make it.
No, everyone was scared.
Yeah.
I think Cassie's been in a lot of people's ears and told them not to talk about Jumanji. But it's time that we...
Is it kind of strange that I think that whereas most people see entering Jumanji as a negative experience, she's kind of keeping it to herself.
Yeah, it's kind of her thing.
Do you think she's fucking Van Pelt? Because I know she's got a thing for my dad.
Yeah. I mean, she wishes. Let's be honest. It's the motherfucking Van Pelt we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason he hunts men.
Now, first thing we have to do before we get too deep into this, and I think we just have to quickly cast Van Pelt.
Now, I don't remember who originally played Van Pelt.
I think the guy who played Van Pelt is gonna be in his 60s or his 70s now,
I know.
Easily.
So it's but the person I'm thinking in my head is also there. But the thing is, I don't think he's in enough trouble, if you know what I'm saying. Because we usually get our pull from those who are being shunned just because they need
the
work.
This is a big deal, though. This is a big show.
I think an excellent Van Pelt would be Daniel Day, but
Daniel Day as Van Pelt?
Dude.
Are you kidding me right now?
It would be insane.
Daniel Day as Van Pelt. Lock it in. Lock it in.
You're so excited.
Now I have a question.
You're such a fan.
Before we jump into this, I need to know, does Van Pelt age or not?
From when we last saw him?
Does Van Pelt...
Because when we last saw him, that means it's been like another 20, 30 years.
I'm just wondering, does Van Pelt age in the Jumanji universe?
No, because...
No.
I don't think so. I don't think he was like a younger man when Robin went in.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is in that, Peter or something. Yeah. No, that's the name of the kid. Anyway, I don't think they do age.
Okay.
I think he's looked the same.
Okay.
So we'll, you we, want them? You want
no,
to?
No. We have to add magic to it, and I think that's fine because this is how I want it to open.
We have to add magic to the cursed board game that sucks people in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's levels.
It's a stretch.
To this shit.
It is a stretch.
It
might
be hard to add magic into this universe. I do agree. So I want to open. I want to open outside of Jumanji. Okay. I want to open because I want this to be origin of Van Pelt. Because what I think we can do with this,
I see what you want to do. I understand why you want to know if he ages.
Because I'm wondering, do I have to cast a young Van Pelt here as well?
Oh, see, I thought you were going for a Van Pelt was the first to be sucked into the game.
Well, listen, Van Pelt's getting sucked into the game. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Okay. So I think what we have to do is we're gonna open on like the streets of like Marrakesh or something like that.
Okay.
You know, like a young Van Pelt's like running through like stalls and shit like that at like a market.
Okay.
You know? And it's I think he's gonna age.
Okay.
Because I think he ages. What we need is we need the audience to, because Van Pelt's the villain, okay?
Was he always?
I think we got to give heart to that Van Pelt. So I think we need to get a young, who can play a young Daniel Day-Lewis? Because don't get me wrong, we've cast Daniel Day-Lewis as Van Pelt, old Van Pelt, but we need a young Daniel Day-Lewis. Who's going to do that role?
Who fits the description? Daniel Day-Lewis is a harsh-looking man in a handsome way.
Handsomely harsh. We can just go handsome.
Because you know? Picture Van Pelt, you know, he's got that white mustache. He's got the spike on the chin.
Yeah.
The white spike that comes down. You'd think a man running around the jungle would be able to keep that level of pristine, but he does.
He does. He definitely does. A young Van Pelt. Now, does he have to be that young?
Well,
you know what? Fuck.
Because
you know, I'm off it. He's not aging. We're getting Daniel Day-Lewis. Are we going to waste half the time on a young actor? All right. So
it depends if we were jumping back and forth from him inside Jumanji and outside of Jumanji. But it's like, are we going to waste a whole episode showing him getting sucked in?
No. What we're going to do is we're going to open on
gunshots.
Gunshots. Yeah, love it.
Or so, a charging rhino or something.
No, I want him to get sucked in first. So what we're going to do? We're back in Marrakesh, okay? We're back in Marrakesh.
Okay.
But we've not got a young man running through the streets. We've got a Daniel Day-Lewis walking through, okay? He's walking through. He's holding a
established, esteemed, looks...
He's not got the Van Pelt mo yet.
Okay.
But he clean shaven, maybe a little bit of Brussels on his cheeks. He's wearing like an ivory colored suit.
Yeah.
He's looking great.
He's got a cane.
He's got a cane and he's walking through the streets and then he walks into like... He walks into
just to
like,
be clear, the cane is for fashion, not for the man has no limp.
Yeah. He and he's holding a briefcase, okay? And then he gets to maybe a stall, and they're like,
and on the briefcase there it says Van Pelt.
Yeah. And they're like, Mr. Van Pelt, come on through. And so he walks on through, and then there's like a very rich man sitting there at the back, and the rich man's like, ah, Van Pelt, we've been waiting for you. And then he says something like not a minute too soon or something like that. And Van Pelt's like, and he's got, I think, am I right to say Van Pelt kind of speaks like he's like, I think we just let Daniel Day do.
I think he's kind of British.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like questionably British.
Yeah. I think we just let Daniel Day-Lewis do. He's like, there will be blood voice.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. And then like he'll.
Can I say of all the gets?
It's huge.
How?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is big.
There's skeletons in his closet. And so he'll put down the briefcase and then he'll be like, and the guy behind him will be like, did you get what we asked for? And he's like, I always get my man. Something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He opens the... you hear that.
As it opens louder.
As it opens.
Building.
And you can see the board game there. It says Jumanji. And then he pulls it out.
Chills.
And then Van Pelt says something along the lines of like, it's pretty penny for a board game, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Because he's like, normally I don't waste my time on toys.
Yes, love it. Yes. He says that. And And then maybe we'll just do a bit of exposition. And then the guy's like, well, it's a very important game or something like that. And then he'll say something like, you hire the world's best hunter to hunt a game? Huh. I can't see why you'd do that.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
You know not what you hold.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. So Van Pelt's like, He puts.
He's a man of. He's a serious guy. Businessman. He doesn't care about the fluff. He doesn't really care. He's like, my payment.
And that's when the guy's like, about your payment. And then you see the doors. Like I imagine it's like a tent type thing. The doors shut behind him, and then two like big guards come out holding like scimitars. And he's like, unfortunately, we won't be paying you today. And Van Pelt's like, a poor choice or something like that.
Ooh.
And then we get, maybe we see the fight scene, or maybe we just hear outside like, and then Van Pelt walks back out holding the briefcase again. And he's walking
okay,
out.
Okay. So he's left them behind and he's taken the briefcase.
He's taken the briefcase. They've died. Cause they tried to
cross him.
They tried to cross him. You don't cross Van Pelt.
No. And they should have known better.
Yeah. And so then he'll go back to like his hotel or something. And I by the way, time wise, I think this is like 1910.
And I need that to be put on the screen.
Yeah. Oh, 1910 Marrakesh.
Thank you.
So he goes back to like a wherever he's staying. I think we want to add like a little love interest in here, like something, you know.
Maybe she's still caught up in the sheets.
Yeah.
As he returns, you know.
And then she's like, oh, how did the deal go? Or maybe she doesn't know. Maybe she doesn't know Van Pelt's man.
Is she a low-key badass? Because then is she an adventuring partner with him, or is it just...
She's not coming into the game.
So then I think she would need to be from Marrakesh.
Yeah.
And she's, I don't know.
She's like a local that he's
found. She's higher than a local. She's got to be... Some sort of she's connected to whoever's running that shit.
I want to give him a bit of heart here. Like I want this to be the woman he loves.
Oh,
you know?
So it's a female Aladdin.
It's a female Aladdin type thing. So he loves this woman. He comes back and she's like, and maybe he's lying to her. Maybe she doesn't know the kind of business he's in. And so she's like, oh,
In the briefcase?
Yeah, what's in the briefcase? And then he like. You spend the night with them. You see that they're very kind to each other. They love each other. And then as the night goes on, she opens the briefcase and she goes, this looks like a bit of fun. And he's like, oh, the game? Sure. And then she's like, should we play? And he's like, well, I suppose so.
But I warn you, I never lose.
Yeah. I like that.
He's just because he's, good you know, character. He's a cool guy.
They open up the game. They play a couple of rounds, small things happen. So we're not giving away too much of the magic here, but little things happen that they can brush off. Like one of them, they'll roll the dice and it will be like, you know, like something about elephants. And then outside you'll hear like, and then he'll be like, he'll kind of look.
But there's commotion in the street. And as he looks out the window, there's like a knocked down stall that looks like it's been completely trampled, but there's no sign of the elephant. And there's just a guy looking like, oh,
what
like stunned looking
happened?
Down the street. And he's like,
strange.
She's like, take your turn.
And so he rolls it and he gets the, in the jungle, you must wait until the dice reads 5 or 8. Or maybe he gets something else. Like it's like, I think he gets something different. It's like, he rolls it and then it comes up with like something like, you know, in the jungle you will go until the shaman tells you so, right? So he rolls that.
The shaman.
And he gets sucked into the board the same way that happens.
Trying to think, see, because I'm all about the rhyme. There needs to be a solid rhyme.
Okay, well, let's work on the rhyme.
So it's something, 9 time.
9.
The player has now rolled a 9. Now you must lose time. Ah, oh, God, yeah. There's something there. But it's okay. We can get back to that.
Because
it can't be 5 or 8 because this is Robin timeline, right?
Yeah.
Right? So as it goes down, eventually Robin Williams will get
the game. Hold on. I think it can be in the jungle. You must wait until the dice read 5 or 8. Because he comes back when Robin comes back when the 8's rolled, doesn't he?
No, I think they roll something separate and then that's Van Pelt's role.
Well, yeah, we'll find out what
Van Pelt's
role is.
And then we'll tinker it to make it, yeah.
But he gets sucked in. It goes, sucks him in. And then she's terrified in the exact same way that the other girl was terrified. So she runs. She knocks the board onto the floor. And then...
It's so much like the first Jumanji movie.
It is.
Bats chase her.
We're doing that intentionally.
Of course.
We're doing that intentionally.
Because people, even though they've seen the name Van Pelt, been on the briefcase.
Yeah.
Opening title. They've seen the game. It says Jumanji on it. Multiple people have said Jumanji. They still might not know that it's the Jumanji that they could have seen all those years ago, or that was then remade with The Rock and his two funny men.
Yeah. So she runs out. She leaves Jumanji on the table, and that's when she runs out. You see them screaming, and she runs down the street, and you see just a man standing out on the street looking up at the window, and then he's like,
and he sees the green glow coming out of the windowsill.
Yeah, and he's like,
do 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 do,
and you just see him walk towards the hotel.
So this is how the sort of all the passing hands of the game and wherever it goes.
So he's obviously
from there.
Gone and got the game, and something happens between then and it finding its way to America. We don't know how that happens.
We don't know how that happens. Maybe we'll drop it in every now and then.
Yeah,
passing hands, it getting dropped into the ocean, whatever.
Yeah.
Getting put in a box, getting taken out of a box.
But right now, I think as he walks in, the green glow like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Well, I think we see the man start to walk towards... But then from behind him as he starts to walk towards the building, the camera zooms up into the window and then now we're getting sucked into the board
Getting sucked into the board.
The camera's being sucked into the
green
board
Green swirling around Whoa. The thing, and then text comes out and it says, Van Pelt.
This is a Jumanji spin-off.
A Jumanji adventure.
That's right.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, because that's clear.
And now opening theme tune.
Oh, well, look, there's lots of ways to go, but we have been talking about theme tunes from cartoons. Why not just, if it's not broke, don't break it?
I think that's good for like the audience as well, because like we said a Jumanji adventure, but maybe they don't know it's a Jumanji adventure.
So let's take the theme from the cartoon and just reuse it. Lots of people didn't see that cartoon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's a hidden gem, but let's take it. Let's take the song. And look, I'm going to play right now. So then we hear this as we're swirling, but then we start to break through. We see sky, we see trees, we hear animals. Ooh, snakes.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's Van Pelt shooting. Now, do we do an intro scene here of them, of snippets of what they're going to see, or do we just, are we just gliding over the jungle?
I mean, this is a Van Pelt show, so maybe...
But this is epic.
This is good. This is the perfect theme tune.
Yeah.
I think we just do like a Westworld style type thing where this song's going, but like we show like we're going arty with it, you know? Like
we'll, of course. This is by far the most budget we've ever thrown at something.
So
can I say something? We're throwing our budget, but it didn't make a dent.
No. We've got so much money. But what I think is when we've got this music playing, we have like a pure black backdrop, just black. And then we're kind of panning over like a saber-toothed tiger. We're panning over just different animals and stuff. And like...
A two-headed crocodile.
Yeah.
What?
Cool shit.
Fabled
like
creatures. Maybe even dropping in hints of things that... I mean, Van Pelt, he seems like he's a game hunter, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we're speckling in a few of the challenges of the mighty beasts. Look, Van Pelt's not necessarily a bad guy yet.
No.
Maybe there's creatures in this world that are so dangerous that because if we're taking from it seemed in the Jumanji that first came, I think his name was Alan. Alan didn't seem to say that there were other people in Jumanji, but if we leap forward to The Rock,
yeah,
people populate Jumanji.
Exactly.
There's a whole ecosystem going on. There's people, there's creatures. Maybe he helps out some of these.
So I think we're even going to go a bit more wild and like, yeah, I do like that. Where like, we're going to go into like the tribes and stuff, and maybe Van Pelt like is like a hero in Jumanji. You know what I mean? Because he's the villain in the real world, but maybe in Jumanji, he's the hero.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, in the time that he was living in the real world, his particular set of skills was best used for maybe more nefarious purposes. But here, he can hunt a different kind of game.
So he lands.
And I think that's important. I like that line, hunting a different kind of game, because Jumanji's a game, Mark.
Yeah, dude.
And he hunted down, as we said at the start, he hunted down this game.
Yeah.
Usually he hunts other things.
This is why we're so good at what we do.
It's why we're the best.
So he, after the credits, it hits to him just like opening his eyes, and he's in the middle of the jungle and he's looking around and he's like.
He's been in a jungle before.
Yeah, it's not his first jungle.
Jungle's a jungle.
He's like, how did I get here? And he's trying to remember, and he's like, he's moving his body, he's touching his neck, and he's in pain, and he's like, must have been a big one last night. Because he kind of, you know, he assumes he imagined this. So he's like, I guess I should find where I'm going. And that's when he'll like get up and he'll start walking through the jungle. And this is a Jumanji jungle. Like, he's been in a jungle, but he hasn't been in a Jumanji jungle.
He's been in a jungle before. And when you're walking through the jungle, yeah, there's animals everywhere, but most animals keep away from you, I'd say. Yeah, they sort of avoid sounds.
Oh, yeah.
But in Jumanji Jungle, it's like, what chaos. The hell?
It is chaos.
They're popping up everywhere. A snake comes out, grabs it by its throat, whoosh, whips it like a whip, cracks its neck or whatever that is. Yeah. I've seen it before.
That's cool.
Is it real? Probably.
Yeah.
Kills the snack. Yeah? Dead snake, turns it into a snack.
Love it. And yeah, we definitely do need a good couple of scenes of like Van Pelt walking through the jungle, shit like trying to fuck with him and him just being like, cut that shit now. He's
not the confidence faltering. Like, he's confident the whole time, but it does become more and more apparent that he's lost and he's not finding anything straight away. So like, he's walking through, but then he's getting attacked by a thing but then just shit just keeps happening.
Yeah. And so eventually like he's killed like, you know, 50, 60 different animals.
We certainly show off the skill set.
Yeah, we need to show him he survives. He's Van Pelt. He looks good while doing it as well.
Oh yeah.
So he's killing it, and then eventually he makes camp for the night, and you can see like he starts a fire first try. He's sitting around, and he's
it's
like,
even kind of cloudy, maybe raining.
Yeah, and he's like, what? What's happening? Like, he still doesn't remember the game, but he's like, how did I get here? And he's like trying to recall the things. He's like, last thing I remember is in Marrakesh, I was at the meeting with the man. And he's like,
has he done this to me?
Yeah.
That dog.
And he's like, they must have put something in my drink. Yes, that's what they must have done. And they've taken me out here. And then he'll pull out like a pocket watch, and he'll open it up, and he's got the picture of the lovely lady from the previous episode. And
what a sweetheart.
And he's like, damn, I hope they haven't done anything to Maria.
Maria.
Is Maria.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, shoot. I was stupid. Never mix business with pleasure. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And he's waiting. He's like, ah, oh,
this was supposed to be the job that got us out.
Yeah. And he's like, he's getting frustrated. He's talking to himself. But in the background, we can hear a little rustle in the bushes.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't hear it because he's focused on Maria.
Because he's speaking out loud, he's in a monologue.
Speaking too loud. And then all of a sudden you just hear like a and into his neck a little pin dart.
Yeah. And he's like, ah, pulls it out, looks at you, goes, it'll take more than that to put me down.
He hits the ground. We do that camera thing where the lids are closing. Ooh. And someone's blurry standing over him.
Approaching from the bushes.
Yeah. He wakes up.
Again, so he's twice already. He's been passed out.
Yeah.
He wakes up. It's really good.
He's in like a makeshift cage made out of like bamboo. It stinks.
And it stinks and it's roped up.
Yeah. And then I think this is where we're going to introduce like a cool second character. A big man, because he's not that big of a man.
Is he not that big of a man? See, I don't know. How tall is Daniel
Day-Lewis?
I think he's like
a regular ass dude.
You sure?
Let's quickly.
We got to know these sorts of things because it really depends on what the character looks like that comes in next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's just quickly look this up. Because how tall is Daniel Day-Lewis? It's going to tell me in centimeters. 1.87 meters.
1.87? That's pretty tall. That's tall. That's decent.
What is 1.87 meters in feet?
Because I'm 197.
Okay, so he's 6'1".
Because I'm 197. So yeah, he's 6'1". That's
Is that big enough to be a big man? Like I think a lot of actors aren't that tall. Do we put a muscle man next to him, or do we put a small man next to him to make him look
muscle? So he's not small. But he's not small. A muscle man.
Can he be the middle? Do we put two men here, a muscle man and a small man?
Here's where I'm at.
Okay.
I think then there's room for both.
Okay.
But I think the first one has to be younger.
Younger.
Has to be smaller.
Smaller.
It's kind of like happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
And definitely knows the area really well.
Yeah, okay.
Like a guide.
Like a guide. So he's guide through. Okay, so who are we casting?
And is a part of the tribe that has taken him.
Yeah.
But is like, wow, outsider. That's so interesting. Look at your clothes. Who are you? I like you. Blah, 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 blah. He's like, you speak the tongue. And he's like, of course. I've learned all these things.
Yeah. Okay, so we got to cast him quickly. So we need, I think we need a teen in this role.
A teen? Okay.
We've got a teen. We don't want to go too young. We don't want to go too, or we can go early 20s, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is we will never actually say an age.
No. We'll never say their age. Who's like a good, who's a good teen actor at the moment? I always go straight to the Stranger Things kids.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. Do you know what? That's exactly where my head went to.
Yeah.
Because when you say teen and you say actor.
You only think Stranger Things, don't you?
They're the only ones.
I don't know if I want
Tom Holland's too old now.
He's too old.
Also, I don't think he's really, you know, fit for the part.
We can think this through. Okay.
But so far, my heart's kind of set on that kid, whatever his name is.
We all want the Stranger Things kids in this. Don't get me wrong.
Because I don't actually think he made it into the previous things that we've used Stranger Things kids in.
I really don't know the kids at the moment. You know what I mean?
Not where the focus is the kids.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, and it's just, you know, like, I mean, famous actors and actresses, their kids will be teenagers in a movie, but they're not the focus.
Yeah.
They're more of a complication.
I'm really struggling to think of any kid. Are we casting Lucas from Stranger Things?
Yeah, we're casting Lucas from Stranger Things.
Lucas, welcome on board.
If you know any other teenagers that are
hit us up.
Let us know.
Okay. We definitely need a database of teens. It's never been more obvious in my life that we need a database of teens.
Yeah. It's never been more apparent. I didn't realize this was an issue that we had.
Okay.
Lucas. Come on in.
Come on down. All right. So we're casting Lucas, and Lucas is he's a cool kid in this, but in this Jumanji one, I think we're going to give him a headband. I think
he's sort of gathered clothing from like towns that he's visited. Yeah. And he's got like a button up, but it's kind of buttoned up incorrectly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he has a tie, but that's what the headband is. You know, like he's sort of got a mixed match thing
and
going on.
By the way, Lucas has been in Jumanji his whole life. So he thinks. Now that's the thing.
Oh,
that's the thing about him.
God.
As a kid, he was sent into Jumanji and he thought.
As a baby.
He was somehow sucked into Jumanji as a baby.
Yeah.
And so he thinks he grew up in Jumanji, but really he is from the outside world. Okay. Maybe as a toddler or something like that.
You know what?
What's that?
His mum got sucked into Jumanji, became with child with someone in Jumanji.
So he's from both worlds.
Was born outside of Jumanji.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
Eventually the game claimed him back.
I love it. So his mother was sucked into Jumanji at some point. Just to summarize, she fell in love with a Jumanjian.
But just to be clear, that Jumanjian, the father, is not in this tribe. He is unaware of his father.
He doesn't know his son's back. Yeah.
The audience, unaware of the father.
Unaware.
We just now only just became aware of the father.
Yeah. So this kid's mum got sucked into Jumanji, fell in love, had a kid, left Jumanji because Jumanji's too dangerous
for a kid.
You
know what the crazy thing is? The story's actually more about Lucas as it comes out.
Yeah.
Van Pelt is just the engine that keeps this train going, baby.
And you know what we're doing right here, which is the best thing people do, is we're Last of Us-ing this.
Yeah.
You know what? We're adding in a protector and a child.
Yep.
Sure, I do think Lucas is in his early 20s now, but he's playing young.
We don't
know any other kids.
We never say the age.
Yeah. So Lucas, he'll wake up and like
he's probably approaching 6'1" himself.
Oh yeah, he's big. He's big. So Lucas, and he's called Lucas in this. Van Pelt wakes up and he's like, he's all
groggy. My name is Lucas.
Yes, he's all groggy and he's like, wow, what's going on? And he goes to get up, and then that's when Lucas is like, I wouldn't do that. And he's like, what have you done to me? And he's like, listen, you're gonna want the poison to wear off a bit before you get up. And then he's like, oh. And then he'll eventually sit up. It's like, why have
big
you-
smile on his face. You need to relax. You need to sit down.
Yeah. He's like, why have you caged me? And he's like,
I didn't cage you. My family did.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. And so I guess Lucas is part of like a ragtag tribe that.
Yeah. I don't know if they're ragtag. They might be.
They're like a civilization.
They might be quite great. Like, yeah, like a civilization, but you know, they have their ways that they live, but. I mean, look, they're not like a huge city of like a tribe, but I'd say that they're just a well.
Are we doing something like this? Like he wakes up and he's thinking
the tribe in Ace Ventura Pet. No, the second one, When Nature Calls.
Okay. So we're going tribe. Because we're in Jumanji, we can make this tribe anything. Like we can mix things.
It appears that Jumanji, and you see this more in the second one, there's different biomes. Like it's sort of like a world map, but condensed. So it's like you travel a short distance and then you're in like the Alps.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it can be fucking anywhere.
I like the idea of mixing it up. Like I hear me out. I think he's in the jungle and he wakes up and he's like, he looks at the architecture and it's like ancient Rome, you know? And he's looking around. He's like, I thought I was in the jungle. And then that's when the Lucas kid is like, yeah, we got you from there. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's looking around, he's like, what is this place? And then his kid's like, you don't want to be out in the jungle after dark. And he's like, that's Tibu's territory.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tibu?
Tibu.
Hmm.
Should we do a different name?
No. I like Tibu because I think Tibu is sort of a name that was lost in translation because I think you know who Tibu really is.
Yeah.
Tibu.
It's Tibby. It's Tibby.
And he's got magic that it's no Tibby. One else understands.
Holy shit, it's Tibby. And then he's like, okay, so he wakes up. He's like, yeah, you don't want to be in there after night. That's Tibu's territory. And then that's going to be such a good reveal.
Oh, can you imagine?
It's going to be so good.
Because I'd like to think that he's trapped too.
Yeah, yeah. Tibby got trapped at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Time travel gets trapped sometime.
Time travel meets board game curse.
Yeah.
That's a conundrum.
So he'll wake up and he'll be like, he'll accuse them of caging him up. And then he's like, caging you? Like, we saved your life, man. Like Tibu and his warriors, like, they'll kill anything that comes into that jungle. You're lucky you got out of there alive. And then eventually, like, we can fast play it a bit, but eventually they'll let him out of the cage. They'll walk around like old Roman, like ancient Greece and shit. And I think it's like, they're kind of like.
Interesting.
I just like chucking in this different thing. Like,
yeah,
and they're
all
wearing like tunics and stuff.
Yeah.
And so
they're wearing their togas and their togas tunics and their shit. Robes.
And he'll be walking around.
Sandals.
And maybe he'll look down and he's no longer in his Van Pelt guard. He's wearing like sandals and a tunic as well.
Which he's not into.
He doesn't like it. He's like, where am I? Clothes and then that's when the kid's like, I is that what you like to dress like? It's dreadfully out of fashion.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. He's a bit of the comic relief, I think.
Absolutely. No, that's I think how I mean he needs to be.
So Van Pelt will put on his classic Van Pelt vibes.
Yeah,
he'll put it all back on. He doesn't have his hat yet, by the way. He's getting his hat at some point in this show.
Of course, that weird sort of bullet shaped hat.
Yeah,
kind of Nazi-ish.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff.
We're taking it back.
And so I reckon they're walking around the town and that's when Lucas gets to do a bit of exposition. Like when they're walking around, it's like, how did I come to be in this place? And then he'll be like, probably the same way everyone gets here. You know, you see a board game and he'll be like, well, yes.
Oh, wow.
I think.
So you think everyone that populates Jumanji was once in the real world? Because because if we are taking from, and as we like to, borrowing from what's come before,
that's not the case.
The world is populated heavily by just
Jumanjians.
In fact, everyone else is Jumanjians, if you will. Whereas
I think Lucas should himself think
that he is a Jumanjian.
I agree. Okay, so I'm going to jump back.
He'll, the he'll, green he's like, I don't know how you got here either, but the sky opened green and then we saw you fall from it.
Yes, that works so much better. He'll be like, yeah, craziest thing happened the other night.
Huge,
you know?
Storm.
Because they have like telescopes and shit. He'll be of like, course. He was like, I was stargazing. And by the way, we're throwing it in here. Lucas avidly stargazes.
Lucas is the intellectual,
yeah,
comic relief, yeah, guide
now,
character. The classic.
It's almost as if Lucas is looking for something every time he looks up at the sky. Within him is searching for something else.
As if he believes that if he could reach out and touch the sky, he'd push right past it and there's something else on the other side.
There's just something within him that makes him think that. So he's like,
adios mio.
He's like, I was stargazing. He's like, I like to look up there and I saw the weirdest green thing come from the sky, and all of a sudden I saw something dropping, so I had to go see what it was. And he's like, even though I was scared of Tibu, and he's like, but it's not my first time in the jungle.
It was daytime,
yeah. And he's a scrapper as well. This kid's a little scrapper. Like he's
like a little MacGyver. He's a genius.
Yeah. And so like he
gets shunned a lot because his inventions are wacky and often fail. But boy, when they work.
Now, hear me out here. We're getting through this first episode, and I think he's talking to Lucas a bit about what the world is they're living in, and like he'll even say at some point, he's like, "I mean, what's going on? Like, look at this place. It looks like ancient Greece." And then guys like then the kid's like, "What are you talking about?" And then he'll be like, "But I was just in the jungle yesterday. How can they exist so close to each other?"
Yeah.
And the kid's just like, "Man, I don't know what you're saying," but somehow he's going to let it drop that they're scared of Tibu because of the technology he has.
And Van Pelt, like, as the just his nature and what he's gone through in life, he's a little bit tight-lipped.
Yeah.
So he's not going to show his whole hand. So he doesn't start carrying on about how, but this is Earth, or there's no way that we were just here. He doesn't do that because he doesn't want to seem like he's scared. He doesn't want to show any weakness. So he's getting as much as he can from
Lucas. He's getting information from the kid. And we'll have him go to like a dinner and something, and we'll really have fun with the ancient Greece thing, like, you know, like, or ancient Rome or whatever. Having fun, like they'll go to a banquet.
Lucas's father, peasant or leader of the
leader.
He's the leader?
Yeah. He's a leader. He's kind of like a Julius Caesar type thing where he's like, but like they're not as powerful as like the Roman Empire, so he'll be like, ah, oh, come in, and they'll have wine and feast.
He rules over his province.
They'll be eating grapes and stuff, and then he'll mention, like, he'll be like, oh, we're like the dad's like, you know, we're a simple people here. You know, we keep to ourselves. Everywhere else keeps to themselves. Like, it seems to work for us. And he'll be like, and then we'll
were a peaceful place until Tibu arrived.
Yeah, we'll do that. But I think we can also drop things like, we're not like the, you know, like the Western Empire up there. Like, they're always gun-toting and fighting. And then that gives us the opportunity to have like a Western-style episode later on.
We got to.
We've got this whole world going.
We're going to have little snapshots of all the different sort of dynasties and things that have happened throughout our history that the Jumanji world has taken and just sort of had a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that like, they'll be having this dinner, and then the dad will let drop, like, yeah, it was all good until Tibu came. Mm. And then Van Pelt will be like,
who is this Tibu?
Yeah.
And then Tibu is a strange, that maybe they call him, would they call him a shaman? No, but they'd call him like a,
not just like a
sorceress or
maybe something like that.
Something along those lines, witch doctor, but who does strange experiments on the creatures and changes the landscapes and has created monsters that threaten our civilization, that sort of stuff.
Absolutely,
because,
love it.
Because we're not going to send him after Tibu in the first few episodes.
No.
You can't get to Tibu straight away. No, Tibu's the big bad mystery. But the creatures that he's creating, these monstrosities of science, but
they've got no idea.
Well, actually, they've got science. It's, they're stargazing, it's Bugman. But it's Bugman.
It's Bugman.
It's like, Bugman.
He's bringing the Bugman.
Yeah.
But I think what our aim, and it might be a season one thing, but eventually, at the end of this season, we need Van Pelt to have to try and seek out Tibu to get out of Jumanji. I think that's
along the way he finds out that this, because they say, very strange that you don't seem to know who this Tibu is. And he's like, how, what are you talking about? How could I know? I only just got here. He's like, well, Tebu arrived the exact same way you did.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, ends on a little close up of his face. Now, I don't know if we're going to end the episode there, but that's, I think that's a,
I think we'll,
it's a powerful moment.
Yeah, we've dropped that little thing. So he's like, okay, I got to get to Tebu. And then hear me out here. He's going to be like, okay. And then he'll make a little friendship with Lucas. They'll have a thing.
Because I don't think the concept of him coming from another world, another realm potentially is foreign to them, because that's what they believe of Tebu, that he came from another place and then started fucking everything up.
Yeah.
So it's a similar situation.
But I think he's going to go talk to Lucas. And we also have to drop in at some point. We'll find a way to do it that Lucas is like, we'll do after the dinner. Mm-hmm. Lucas is looking up at the stars and in his telescope, and then Van Pelt will come over. He'll be like, "Why do you always look up there, boy?" And then we'll have the moment where it's like, "I've just always felt like, you know, there's more out there." And then he'll be tight-lipped
about
it.
And he's like, "You came from the other side. What's that? What's over there?" And he's like, "Nothing that you need to know of."
Yeah, and they're talking, and then like. As the conversation goes on, Lucas is like, I just want to see the world. Like, the father keeps me like cooped up here. Like, him finding out about me going into the jungle to rescue you, like, I got in a lot of trouble for that. Mm. Like, he never wants me to go anywhere, that kind of thing. And then
but you don't know the land. If you're to go back out there, if you're going to face Tebu, then I have to go with you.
And then he's like, well, Tebu will have to wait. And he'll be like, and then he'll look down. Got no weapons, and he'll be like, "Do you know where I can get any of those guns they were talking about? Your father talked about?" And he's like, "Oh, I mean, that's a bit of a journey." And he's like, "Well, strap in, friend. It's time to go on an adventure." And so now,
come on.
Now what they have to do is they have to leave ancient Greece world. They have to go to Western world in order for him to get the guns to fight.
Yes. Very good. And maybe this is more of like a next. Yeah, no, because then I think that's a great moment to end.
I think it.
Because then we can have the camera pan over the land, and it doesn't go. It's not like the Western's just neighboring.
No. It's a journey,
and you see some other weird lands, and you see like some men fighting with swords.
Yeah,
and you're going further, and then you see a horse rearing up and a man on the back of it silhouetted against the sun.
Yes.
And then that's where we'd close. That's on the
and maybe even when it's panning over, we can really fuck with shit. Like we can. A show like fucking like spacemen fighting like fucking barbarians and shit. Like Jumanji is fucking chaos.
Oh yeah.
It's a world without the laws of time.
That's right.
Shit is going buck wild in Jumanji.
It's like a fantasy storybook.
Now, am I wrong to say that this sounds like the best show that's ever existed?
I think this is absolutely the best show. That Daniel Day-Lewis in a long-form TV show where he gets to travel through every genre of adventure known to man.
And we fucking Last of Us it. We have a kid and an adult in it.
Because what the... Because listen, you idiots at home. Yeah. Listen, don't you see the genius that's being spilled out into your ears right now? Lucas from Stranger Things, his dad...
Yeah.
Isn't really his dad. Lucas came through the sky too.
Yeah.
But has he ever been told that by Papa?
Yeah.
No.
Alternate end to the episode. I just want to hear what you think about this.
Let me hear it.
We have a moment. We have the same moment where they're like, he's like, we don't have the strap in. We're going on an adventure. He's like, I would like to go. I'd like to go there one day. And then Lucas was like, you're telling me, but dad won't ever allow it. Goes to bed. There's a lot of Van Pelt waking up in this, and we're just going to say it's a motif throughout the show, and we're going to do it a lot. Van Pelt wakes up in the middle of the night.
Well, because how else are we going to show his relationship with Maria?
Yeah.
It's through the dreams.
Van Pelt wakes up in the middle of the night, and he just hears like a noise from outside.
Oh my
and
he's God, like, is it a bugman?
What's happened? And he opens his shutters, he opens, and the city's on fire.
Ah, shit.
Bugmen have attacked.
Don't you hate it?
They've attacked, and... People, and then he runs out and he sees Lucas's not real dad. He's Roman Emperor dad get fucking bugmaned. He dies instantly.
And but you know who runs up? Who runs up to Van Pelt and Lucas?
Who's that?
It's Brock Lesnar.
Hell yeah.
And Brock Lesnar says, "Father, your father has charged me to protect you. I must get you out of this
city." We
got
the big man in there?
We got Brock. We got the big man. We got the little man. We got the serious guy.
I love it. And he's like a serious guy. The big man?
Oh, yeah. Big and dumb.
Big and dumb. Yeah, he's like.
Big and dumb. The comedy, it's sort of like a Drax way. You know, irony is lost on him, all that sort of stuff.
So they're like, we got to get out of here. And so then they leave the city. And then while they're running out of the city, you can see it like the bugmen attacking in the background. And that's when.
And the bugmen, they're bugmen. But they're so some look like they're humans that have been transformed into bugs. But some also look like a hippopotamus that's been transformed into a bugman. Yeah. It's all these weird creatures that are now bugmen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
it's a real Power Rangers type scenario.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And on their way out, they're running out of town. Maybe they get on horses or something. They get on a chariot. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
They jump in a chariot and they're
but it's being pulled by ostrich.
Yeah, they're fucking gunning it out of there. And that's when Big Brock Lesnar man, he's like, "Where are we going?" And then Van Pelt's like,
"West."
Pan over the landscape. End of episode.
Yeah.
That's the best show I've ever heard of.
I think that's the greatest show. And I mean, we've ticked all the boxes, you know, that is required for it to have the green lit
screen
no matter what seal of approval. Tibby's in there.
The second Jumanji came into it, it was green lit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Van Pelt, the origins of Van Pelt.
Oh,
the story that people didn't know they wanted but absolutely need.
This takes place like I said 1910.
You said 1910.
So it takes place 70 years? No, he's in the 50s, isn't he? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's in the 50s?
I think Robin Williams gets sucked in the 50s.
Right.
Or the 60s, maybe.
I mean, the Van Pelt could have been sucked in the 18...
Yeah.
Bloody 50s or something, you know?
It's still at least 50 years, maybe. If it's the 60s, it's 50 years before Robin Williams' character even comes into this world.
Yeah.
So we've got 50 years to play with here.
That's a lot of seasons.
It's a lot of seasons. 1 year a season. Nah, we'll do time jumps. We got this going.
And you know what's so stupid the previous Jumanji? Is that they didn't even think to have... Alan only ever talks to the jungle. What, the guy never leave? Yeah. He could have gone to so many worlds. He could have gone to Space Mountain.
Yeah.
He could have gone to Western Land.
Yeah.
But the dumbass just didn't know how to get out of the jungle.
And we'll have... We haven't gotten to it yet, but there's a reason why Van Pelt is hunting him, you know?
Yeah.
And it's you know what? The audience are going to be like, yeah, that actually makes sense.
Yeah. They'll be like, huh, wow. Yeah. Now that it's all spelled out to me like this, I guess I can get into it.
Greenlit. That sounds like a really good show to me.
Yeah, we're in. Yeah. We're in. Cha-ching. I can see the money. I mean, most of it's going to Daniel.
Yeah, but, a lot of it. And there's a lot of CGI in this one. We're not paying Lucas too much because, like, let's be honest, as far as Stranger Things cast go, like, yeah, you're going to pay your Millie Bobby Browns a lot. You're going to play your Finn Wolfhounds a lot. But Lucas, you're getting him cheaper than the other ones.
I like Finn Wolfhound.
Is that not his name?
I think it's Wolfheart.
I like Wolfhound.
But Wolfhound is, Wolfhound. It's just two dogs.
Yeah, he's cheaper. He's cheaper than the rest of them.
Yeah.
Not the rest of them. I'd pay the same amount
I'd pay less for the Tooth Boy.
I would pay less for, Will goes the cheapest. We can all agree on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Will
goes the cheapest.
Half the season he's sleeping.
Half the season he's in a wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the most recent season, he was just, I mean, unfortunately revealed to be a terrible actor.
Okay. Like, I mean, I want to get too in the weeds here.
I think we've jumped on Will in the past. But let's being a shit actor.
Let's quickly just run through the main kid actors and say which one goes for the most expensive and which one goes cheapest. At number one, most expensive actor to hire from the Stranger Things kid, we have Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby Brown, of course. She can rap.
She can rap. Now in number two, this is where the debate happens. Do we have Sadie Sink or do we have Finn Wolfhound?
Sadie Sink is...
She plays Max.
Oh. No.
Of Whale alum.
I think we go Finn.
So Finn's going in.
Wait,
at number
are you
two.
Talking about like who is getting the paid the most to be in something else?
To be in something else, yeah.
It's Max.
It's Max.
It's for sure Max.
Okay.
I don't think, I don't, yeah.
So the two gals,
The two gals are crushing it.
They're crushing
it. It's ladies' night.
Then number three, I think we've got Finn.
That's Finn. And we're not obviously including Nancy Harrington.
No, no, no. We don't have time for that. It's just the little kids. And then...
That's so small.
Yeah. And then I think after Finn, I think we're going to...
I don't... I wouldn't personally, but I think it might be Dustin.
I think Dustin goes next.
I think it might be Dustin. He really seems like he's shilling it out, you know?
It's either Dustin or it could be Lucas.
It could be Lucas.
I think I'm comfortable going Dustin, Lucas.
They're tied fourth.
And then Dustin and Lucas tied fourth. And then at ninth, I think we put Will.
Will.
Just put some room in case they introduce any other characters in the next season.
Because there's some background actors in Stranger Things that have blown
it.
Up.
They're killing it.
They've blown up.
They're killing it. Will is going cheap.
Oh, the girl that turns out to be Dustin's girlfriend, she's before him.
Oh, for sure. Will sucks. Will's basically paying to be in things
Will,
at this point.
Honestly, he can't act, and it's not his fault, because all those years those other kids got experience acting, he was playing a character that said nothing or slept or interacted with lights.
Yeah, yeah.
And his only lines were, "Mom!" or... I'm scared. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, listen, we're getting him cheap. And by the way, he will be in our next show. Once we found out he's this cheap, you got to cast him.
Yeah, if he's not making it into Jumanji, which he might down the track,
he'll
be getting his own show next week. Mark my words. Yeah.
Well, this has been a very successful episode of No Matter What, the podcast we record when Cassie is not available. We're going to end this episode the same way we end every episode, and that's by saying...
Jumanji!
Cyclone, hurricane, earthquake, flood, volcanic eruption, or a river of blood. We'll be here even if we get shot, so listen up now for some No Matter What.